Today I want to talk to you about your dream in life. Not a series of thoughts that you have when you're asleep, but rather your imagination for your future or your desire for your future. I want to talk to you about that. And, you know, God has given each one of us a plan and a dream. And he wants to fulfill it. And it's what we want is the dream that God has for us. Mm-hmm. We want to do his dream. And we want to take his steps to get into this dream. And you may say today, well, I don't really have a dream. I don't know what I'm going to do next. Well, I want to tell you today that God has a dream for you and you're going to love it. And you're going to step into it and you're going to do it. And he's going to make it known to you. How do I know that? Because Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you are plans for good and not for disaster, for to give you a future and a hope. Now, the scripture says in another version, it says, I know the plans that I have for you, not just the thoughts. God has a plan. He has purpose and he has a plan for you. Well, I'm already 75. He has a plan for you.
Amen.
Well, I'm retired. He has a plan for you.
Amen.
He has something he wants to do. Sometimes we have to come out of our comfort zone a bit to get these things done. But notice he does have those plans. And then he said in the scripture that He to give you a hope and a future. So God is in on this. It's not like, here, this is your plan, I'll see you later. God is doing it. He has a plan. And he's already told us what some of it is. Whatever your personal dream is, whatever you think God is calling you to do, there's one thing you can add to this year that we know is absolutely God's dream for you in 2022. And you might as well not get tired of hearing it because I'm going to say it over and over to you. Mm-hmm. At this time, we can receive from the open hand of God unusual, extraordinary, supernatural provision. And when I say provision, I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about anointing. I'm talking about the power of God. I'm talking about the favor of God. I'm talking about divine appointments, being in the right place at the right time. I'm talking about wisdom.
Yes.
Amen. You can receive all these things from the hand of God. Praise the Lord. And the prophet said you can do it in the midst of chaos. So it doesn't matter what you're seeing on the news. It doesn't matter everything that's going on. We're certainly working in that with him and standing. But he has his hand open for those who refuse to be shaken about all this stuff that goes on. You know, the number 20 means expectancy. So expect God to manifest this year in unusual, supernatural, extraordinary ways. Amen?
Yes.
The Bible says over in Psalm 37:4, it says, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll what?
Give
you the desires of your heart. So he'll put the desire in you and then he'll give you that desire.
Yeah.
Amen. Desire of the Father. He will give you the desire, puts a desire in there. I told the mentor group, I said, you need to think about the thing you hate the most. And whatever that thing is that you hate the most, you've been on this earth to fix it.
Praise God.
That's your call. Whatever it is you hate, you have an anointing on your life to fix that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I hate when people lie about God and say that he's causing trouble in their lives. Y'all know that. So my call on my life is to tell people that God is good and that he's not doing all those things. That's the main call for me personally, besides I have a declaring ministry. But I'm going to stick to that. When someone's ignorant of the word, I'm going to tell them, oh, no, honey, No, honey. Listen, Linda. God didn't do it. Okay? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And so whatever it is, you know, and we went around the room and they said, you know, I hate this and I hate that. Well, then your problem solving skills with the Lord working through you, that's the anointing you got. One person said, I hate lack. I said, then you're called to be rich so you can help. Amen. Amen. Wipe that out of your life. There's a lot of different things said, but that's part of your call. I thought you were talking about a dream where I went to live in Bora Bora. That's good. But you would need to be called to people, not just the fish you're going to see when you're snorkeling. Right. But you could be called to Bora Bora. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. But there's more to it than just, you know, the dream of relaxing. You need to do that, but there's more to it. There's a call on your life to help people. That's why I'm so interested in you loving the local church. You can't just love Pastor Deb or Jordan or Danny or me. You can't, well, I just, you know, I'm just looking at them. No, you need to love these.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm getting off the subject. I got to roll back around here. Okay. Now, so we're in a win-win situation. God's doing all this. So let's look here then. We see plans, hope, and future. We're talking about dreams. Dreams are good. They become better when they become hope. So dreams are good, and then you add hope to it. And I'll just show you what I mean by that. You can imagine many things, maybe Bora Bora, I don't know. You can dream and have a full imagination of what could happen, okay? But when you add God's word to that dream, it becomes hope, okay? Hope is not just wishing for something. Well, I sure do wish. I'm just wishing and hoping. No, that's not Bible hope. Bible hope is called earnest expectation. It means that you saw something. And then, because of the word of God, you saw that it could actually happen. Uh-huh. You saw that it could actually happen. Let's take about this. I don't know if there's anyone within the sound of my voice, but let's say that you wanted a baby, but you couldn't have a baby. Okay, ladies, let's just say that, or couples, you couldn't have a baby. Well, then, but you see yourself having a baby. We got a new baby in here. Praise the Lord. But you saw yourself having a baby, but nothing was working for you to have a baby. But you went to the Word and you saw Hannah. And Hannah was in there and she went to the Lord and prayed. And so then you knew it was possible. And then you read all these scriptures about the barren becoming fruitful in the Bible. And so then you know, now you have hope. And we said, I don't know if I can ever get out of debt, but I have a view that I could be out of debt. But then you go over to the woman with the prophet, and the prophet shows her what to do, and she gets out of debt.
Yes.
Amen. And so this goes on and on. When you see the word come in with your dream, then you have hope. And when you have hope, you can move into faith. Amen. So when you read the word and you find out the promises, you see that God is behind some of those imaginations. Now, God is not behind, Lord, I wish you'd kill so-and-so. You know. And the Lord's not behind, and I hope so-and-so gets a divorce so I can marry her husband. And, you know, that's all junk. You know, I'm talking about the scriptural things here. I'm not talking about you making up something cuckoo. Amen. But I'm telling you, there's plenty to be had. And we need to take advantage of it and do what God calls us to do. So, now, praise the Lord. I'm not saying any of that or anything I'm going to say to limit you, but you do need to have correct borders when it comes to your dream. And those borders are always going to be love. Okay? Your borders are always going to be love. You get that? You understand that? Praise the Lord. I know that you do. A dream based on God's word becomes seed. And if you plant it in your heart and you water it and you work with it, then it's going to come to pass. And don't dream too small. Dream big. God can do it. Now, if you're going to dream big, you better be ready to be totally dedicated to God. Because he's the only one that's going to be able to do that. Amen. He'll surely help you. Now, I want to address this. We're just teaching today. I want to address this because it's so important. We don't want anyone in presumption. Okay, there's always the chance, especially for new people in faith, to just get into presuming. They're just in mental ascent. Well, pastor's out of debt, and so I am. Now I'm going to be too. Those statements are true, but how did pastor get there? Okay? And so, because the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. The steps. So you take steps. You know, I'm dreaming big, so I'm going to believe for a house on Applehead Island. Anybody know where that is? You know where Applehead is? Okay, so, you know, and if right now you're living a way different life, then, you know, you might say, I'm believing God. Somebody will give me a house on Applehead. I'm just believing they're just going to give me a house on Applehead. Well, but I work at Domino's. Now, I'm not knocking Domino's. Everybody's somewhere. It could be where you're called. But I'm just trying to show you a balance of things that you're not going to pay the taxes on that house from a job at Domino's. When you do acquire something, can you take care of it financially? Can you take care of it physically? Can you take care of it mentally? You know, I want a boat. Man, I've had some boats. You better be ready to take care of that boat. Because, am I right, Butch? There's a lot of work when it comes to boats. We've had boats. In fact, one of mine is sitting in the bay, at the bottom of the bay in Rockport. My family sunk it after a while. But that boat, oh, we skied, we had a good time, and it was good, but it was work. You can't leave them out in the sun. You can't leave them, especially if you take them to salt water. You got to clean them up. You got to do a lot of work with the boat. So if you want a boat, you better want to be physically fit and ready. I'm just using this as an example, okay? Be ready to take care of a boat. And you may be. That's fine. But back to Applehead, where you would want a boat there for sure. You know, it's just not a good plan to just think, well, someone would give me that, and then how would you take care of the house and the POA and the club dues and all those kind of things? Because big, beautiful houses take big, beautiful money to keep going.
Yeah, true.
The electric bill's not the same as it is over. Why are y'all so quiet? I'm not trying to kill your dream, but you got to get all that with it. You got to move forward and get all that with it before you just dream for the love boat. See, everybody over 50 knew what the love boat was in here. Praise the Lord. The love boat. So that's not really a good plan, but Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. So you build your capacity of faith. So what I would ask you to consider here is your faith victories. What are your faith victories before launching into something that may be over your faith head? I'm not trying to pop your bubble.
No.
Keep the dream, but take the steps.
That's good.
Don't get rid of the dream,
but
take the steps to get there. It may just be your dream to be healthy. Maybe you're receiving your healing. Well, I'll tell you, you are already healed. You are the healed. But you remember Brother Copeland, he actually had to get a pacemaker. And the Lord, he said, well, I'll just believe, Lord. I'll just use my faith. Because, I mean, if anyone has, he has. He used my faith to be healed, and he's been healed of anything that came along. But the Lord said, you're behind the power curve. Now, that means something to the aviation department here. Because you can get behind the power curve in flying. Mm-hmm. But did y'all know Liz was a pilot?
Oh, awesome.
Wow.
Really?
Just found out last night.
Oh, awesome.
Anyway, she doesn't want to do it anymore, but praise the Lord. Liz is amazing. She has a house in, can I tell that? You don't want people to know? I'm spilling it already, so. She has a house in South Africa, and she's a world traveler. Kevin, you just got you a good deal there, I'm telling you. You got you a good deal because she's full of love. That's why. Praise the Lord. I'm just playing around. So, but you know, if you're behind the power curve, you're going to have to catch up. And so the Lord said to Brother Copeland, he said, go ahead and get the pacemaker and then get on your faith and get on your treadmill. And so Brother Copeland did that, and that pacemaker is turned off. But see, he went ahead and took the steps and got the right Holy Spirit, led him to the right doctors and stuff like that. And he got everything taken care of. But then all that time, he's using his faith. Well, wherever you are in your walk, if you're behind the power curve, God will play catch up with you, but take the right steps.
Yes.
Don't just launch off into something that you're going to presume will turn out right. Does that help anybody?
Yes.
You okay with that? Like I said, don't lose your dream. But, man, if I could, y'all know so many stories from me of how, the first thing that happened to me was I got a house, favor anointing years ago. And man, every time we would move somewhere, it'd get better.
Mm-hmm.
And today it's really better. Amen. So, but I didn't start there, and I've been in faith for 30 years. Well, I can't wait 30 years for it. You're not going to have to.
Amen.
You're not going to have to. I lived good all that time, but I wanted to make sure I did it all debt free.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
And you're not going to have to, but it may take you a couple of years. Church, days of preparation are never wasted.
Amen.
I mean, it could all fall on you tomorrow, but it could fall away from you the next day if you don't know what you're doing.
Right.
Amen. It's not to discourage you. You're going to reach your dream, but you want to keep the dream once you get it.
Yes.
Now, if it's a business, if it's a job, it's home, land, car, ministry, health, relationships, wisdom. Wisdom will be the principal thing. How to do this and use your faith. I have to tell you that over the last 30 years, I've seen many faith failures because people weren't really in faith. They were just in mental ascent. You could ask them, are you walking in faith? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm in faith, but they weren't in faith. They were just mentally engaged. The word wasn't in their heart like it should be. The word has to be in your heart. You have to really be believing. And you really need to, this is where you need to be honest with yourself. When doubt starts rolling around, the Bible says you do not doubt in your heart. That means you're being double-minded. You're putting your hand out and taking it back, putting your hand out and taking it back. That's not the way to acquire anything. Amen. It starts with steps. So I said all that, but I want to say this on the other hand. You cannot be afraid to step out either. You can't just stay stagnant. You can't even turn a ship unless it's moving. And so you can't turn your car unless you start moving. So If you make a couple of mistakes along the way, you didn't wake up that morning saying, you know, I'm going to make 5 mistakes today. That'll be good. That's my goal. I'll make 5. No, you wanted to do God's will, and you may have mentally, I could tell you all the times I've done that. But God will get you back on the road, get you back in there. Just be willing to listen to him. There's been times when he told me, slow down. And then there's been times when he said, are you going to move or not? You're going to get up and do something. And so you just have to know in the spirit where you are. Well, I can't tell. I can't tell. I can't tell. Let me tell you why you can't tell. You need more fellowship with God. You need more word, and you need to be talking and listening. And you need to clear out that channel so you can hear him. Yes. Number one thing that's going to be in your way is fear.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The number two things in your way is you just think you just understand everything and you just got it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's good. Oh, I'm there. We're just waiting on my husband. Might want to check on that. Might be the opposite.
Yeah.
You know? Maybe they're more in faith than you think they are. Amen. I'm not picking on anybody. I'm just trying to tell you this is how it works. We need to watch out that we don't become know-it-alls.
Right.
Have you tried this brand of water? No, that brand of water's not any good. You need to get that brand of water. Well, hey, have you seen the... No, that isn't any good. This is better. We used to call that person Tree Climbing Lonnie. You all want to know why?
Yes.
There was a young man back in the day around our family who every time you even had a suggestion, he had something better. And one day it came up that someone had some fun and climbed up a tree. And they were saying, man, I climbed up that tree. And Lonnie lit in. Well, I've done a tree. He always was a step ahead of everybody else. You couldn't tell him anything, not one thing. He knew every single thing better. And if you're tree climbing Lonnie, you need to get out of the tree. It won't hurt you to listen to other people. It's only their opinions. You don't have to take them, but it won't hurt you. You don't always have to be the one that's with the right answer. No, you're wrong and I'm right. Why don't you just listen sometimes? Amen. Okay, I'll just say it plainly. Just stop being a know-it-all. Okay. Now let's go on before I go too far out there. The other side of that is you can't just say, well, we're just waiting on the Lord. We're just waiting on the Lord. We're just waiting on the Lord. You know, no. No. He's waiting on you.
Right.
You just have to get these steps in the right way.
Mm-hmm.
With faith without corresponding action is dead. Amen. And one other thing, the word said that the plan was good and not evil. Are a disaster. So God's plan is not going to be evil. He's not going to put you in the hospital so you can minister to the person next door. If you want a minister to go in the hospital, go out there.
Right?
That's so dumb.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know why the Lord had me here. The devil put you there. You know, one of the interesting things in the prison, everybody that goes to the prison, we used to hear this a lot. We used to have someone that we went with, and they, kind of a different camp than we were, but we were kind of built in with them doing some things, and the person would say, now you know God put you here so that you could learn. Can I tell you that you put you here?
Yeah.
God didn't put people in prison. They put themselves in prison. God gets you out. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. It's all that mentality. Now, let's just go on here. You get a dream in your heart. You put the word in your heart. And they get together and they make hope, which is a blueprint. Then you have the blueprint. Now you have to call on faith to build it or to get the thing. So you see it. You get word on it, and then you begin to call for it.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Right.
I wanted a poodle, and I wanted a red one. And then I looked online at Providential Poodles. Shout out to Wendy. And I saw them like you would see it, your promise in the word. And I saw that they had all these little puppies and Boone was in there. And so then we went up there and we started using our faith because Boone wasn't cheap. And then lo and behold, there was this other one there. His name was Cupid at birth and her name was Orange Girl. We had to change that quick. So then we decided Annie needed to go home with Boone. So then we had to get our faith up even higher about that. But let me tell you something about that happening. It went quickly. It was so easy. But let me tell you, y'all think, oh, she had to talk about her poodle. Now, wait a minute. Mackie, the dog before these dogs, he was at the breeder. And they said, he's such and such amount of money. And I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, that's a lot of money for a dog. And the Lord spoke to me right then and said, not for that dog. Now, put something else in that place. I know y'all may not be poodle lovers. I don't want to know about it. Yeah, I know y'all think they're foo-foos. They are not foo-foo. Are they, Danny? I have witnesses in the room. Annie is a hunter.
Yep.
Okay. So then by the time, my point is this. By the time I had done that with Mackie, and God gave me the money, the lady knocked money off of Mackie. And so then we got Mackie, and then we got Gracie. And then, so by the time we got to get the big dogs, I already had that. I had the capacity. I had the capacity and knew that it was God who made the provision. Car, house, husband, whatever it is you're looking for, a better relationship. Once you start getting some capacity, that's what happened with us with houses. We built the capacity to have what we wanted.
Yes.
Amen.
That's good.
We got... Let me see it. Ladies and gentlemen, heavenly amazing grace. This is her. Amen. That's for her real name, heavenly amazing grace. She's a... Now, this dog has papers, you understand me? Thank you, Kendall. Praise the Lord. So, but I'm just using these little stories to tell you, you build some capacity.
Yeah.
Just build some. Amen. When we sold the truck to give to the Citation 10, mm-hmm. It changed everything in our vehicle life.
It did.
Everything. Now we have a tree, and we get debt worth 6 Lexuses and 3 trucks, and one other, a Honda, too, that someone gave us. Some of those vehicles were actually given to us, 3 of them, I think, and then all the Lexuses came. Deb has one, I have one, and then there were other ones. So they all came. We had a business partnership, and we sold the vehicle between the two of us, and it's just made debt-free vehicles all this time. Am I helping anybody?
Yes.
So we built the capacity. So what's next?
Right.
We did that with going to the convention. We did that with travel.
Mm-hmm.
We started believing for money for travel because that was the thing we wanted to do. It's our passion. And by the time we were going to Israel, our trips were totally paid by other people. We didn't even pay for anything to go to Israel. That's a lot of money. This is back in 2011. I think it was $6,000 a piece, which I'm sure it's up by now. But I'm just trying to use my examples to get you to see that first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. Okay? You start where you are.
Yes.
Amen. All right, I'm going to try to get on down the line now. So Jesus wants you to be called into the rest, and he'll finish the work. But you have to get in there with him and not be struggling all the time. You have to use your work in the faith area, not in the figuring area. Now, that's good right there. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I've gone so far away from my notes, I'm going back to see if I want to say any of it. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Now, you have to sow to qualify as a reaper. Is that right? You're going to have to sow. See, so you're going to have to put word in.
Right.
But you have been sent to reap.
Yes.
That I would say to the Navigate group, you've been sent to reap. Mm-hmm. You've been sent to reap. That's what you're called here to do. You have to sow, but you've been sent to reap. And you've been sent to reap more than what you planted. Okay?
Thank you, Lord.
The dream God gave you is about a harvest. And whatever it is, it'll require a harvest at some point. You're going to have to harvest something at some point. Increase is always on God's agenda. Increase always is. We are in a period of reaping right now. Hebrews 11:39 says, "And all these things, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise." That's the cloud of witnesses, right? God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Talking about those in the hall of faith. Okay? Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for who the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Those before you left some harvest. They can't receive the prize until we finish. Plus, some things got left undone. Every generation before has sown. We are to reap all past harvest. Your dream is about harvest. 2,000 years ago, there were those who had a dream of Messiah. They followed a star until they came to the dream. They were willing to do whatever it took to get to the dream. You have to do whatever it takes to get to the dream, which sometimes mean back up a little, which sometimes mean take another route, which sometimes mean sit down and be still for a minute. There are all sorts of ways, but it's about your willing and obedience. That's what is going to get you there. Are y'all still with me?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Whatever it takes. In Genesis 37:5, Joseph had a dream. I'll just tell you what it says because I've pushed the clock today. God placed a dream inside him. Inside him.
Yes.
He had a vision inside him. Did you know that not everybody's going to be excited about your dream? Those brothers were not excited about this dream. Said so unexcited that they threw him in the pit and they were going to kill him except for praise saved his life.
Right.
Judah. Judah saved his life, which means praise. Praise saved his life. Judah saved his life and they ended up, you know, making some money off of him and he became a slave. But remember this, God put an anointing of increase inside Joseph. The dream was still there. When he was in the pit, the dream was there. When he moved over to Potiphar's house, what did he do? He went straight to the top. And then Ms. Potiphar, you know what she did, and got him in trouble. She lied about him, and she got him in trouble. And so then he goes to prison. But the dream's still inside him. And then while he's over there sitting in prison, what does he do? He goes to the top there. Because you can't keep the cream from rising to the top. You're going to rise to the top if you'll just keep going, no matter what the enemy puts out there. You're going to keep going. And so Joseph kept going. And think about this. Potiphar's house was blessed, the word said, because of Joseph. Blessed by association. Lot was blessed by association. Sometimes people are blessed just by their association with a prosperous person. Think about it. Praise the Lord. It's good to hang around with people bigger than you. Yes. Amen. So the verse 21 in the scripture says the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with him. Amen. So, you know the story. He ended up being the governor of Egypt. And he dealt with what? What did he do? What did he do? Harvest. Harvest. Now, a lot of people would say, you know, it was divine providence that he must go into the pit, and then he must go to Potiphar, and then he must go to prison, and then he must get to work so that all of this could come up out of him. I disagree. I think that if he'd have kept his mouth shut around his brothers and didn't put his dream out there to the dream thieves, cast his pearl before swine, that he probably would have been spoken to and said, now this is what I want you to do to reap the harvest. That's what I believe. But the thing about Joseph is he did have to go through this, but you can't let your current condition determine who you are. You can't do that. That did not change him. He was in all those places, but it didn't change him. Maybe you've been in some places, but it doesn't change who you are. You are healed. You are prosperous. You are blessed. You are anointed. You are important. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Joseph maintained the dream God had placed inside of him. That's what he did. He didn't let being sold, he didn't let being enslaved, he didn't let being lied about, going to prison, change who he was or change his dream. He maintained in prison and he prospered. And he did all those things without murmuring and complaining. Amen. I'm sure he said many times, hey, this is who I am and something's got to change. Amen. And it did. You see, I have a future. And my future's not just in God. It's in me. It's in me because he's in me. He placed it in there. He placed that future in there. And it's harvest time. Do you think Joseph had any opportunities to get offended? Oh, I just don't know why I had to go there. My brothers hate me. I can't believe Miss Potiphar lied about me and now she's out running free and they put me in jail. We've heard stories about that lately. Did you ever ask yourself, why did the harvest come to Egypt? Why not Israel? Why didn't it just come to Israel? God didn't set up the brothers or the woman or the prison. That wasn't God's providence. Joseph didn't come to Egypt to fulfill the dream. The harvest came to Egypt because Joseph came to Egypt. It's in the people. Egypt got blessed. Amen. The harvest came to Egypt because Joseph was there. The harvest came to Egypt because the dream came to Egypt. The harvest came to the dream. Did you hear that? The harvest came to the dream. Say that out loud. The harvest came to the dream. So here's my question to you. How are you going to get a harvest? Have a dream.
Yes.
Right?
That's right.
Hey. You don't need any money or any anointing if you're not going to do anything. The anointing removes burdens and destroys yokes. If you're not interested in that, you don't need it. But it is yours.
Yes, it is.
Prosperity is useful if you use it. But if it's just about everything you're going to do for you, it's not prosperity. There are a lot of people with a lot of money, but they're poor. I don't go into that, but you know that. Praise the Lord. The harvest comes to the dream, so don't let the dream be killed. People kill their own future by justifying what God is against. Did you hear that? People kill their own future by justifying what God is against. Joseph was designed by God for something bigger than just feeling good about his own situation. It doesn't always feel good when you're on your way in your dream. Sometimes you have to roll up your sleeves. Sometimes you hit places that look like they're blocked. Sometimes people's stuff gets in your way. Mm-hmm. But you keep going.
Amen.
You don't quit. Amen.
Amen.
You know, it's just been too hard. It's just been too hard. And if it's this hard, it probably isn't God's will. Uh-uh. I heard people say, you know, if you're called to the ministry, honey, if you're called to the ministry, it'll just be so easy. Are you kidding me? New levels, new devils. The enemy will stop whoever he can. And he hates all of us. Don't get the idea that you're hiding from him, because you're not. The thing is, you have something much more powerful than he'll ever be. So don't quit. Don't give up. Joel 2:26-27. Go there and we'll start closing. I'm not going to apologize today for taking a little longer. We need to hear this. We need to get you set up. You need to get set up so you walk out of here going, you know what? I'm going to receive what God has. I'm going to receive it and I'm going to do it. I'm going to help somebody. I'm going to help this world. I'm going to help America. I'm going to help some people. I'm going to get my mind off myself. How am I ever going to stop that? See, if you just continue to make it about you all the time, it'll always just be about you all the time. You got to branch out, get your mind on other people. The Bible says that Job, he went through that for 9 months, but when he finally prayed for his friends, he got back more than he ever had. Praise the Lord. Are you there? Verse 2:26, and ye shall eat plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord, your God that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel and that I am the Lord your God and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. Now, I want to tell you how that translates. I put this in there for this. It says, my people shall never be disappointed nor live with delays. My people will never be disappointed, nor will they live with delays. How many of you have had enough of delay?
Yes.
I've had enough of delay. It's time to move on down the line. It doesn't mean that you're not watching and resting, but it's time to have some movement. It's time to get the harvest in. It's time for you to have an open hand so you can receive this wonderful open hand of God so you can receive supernatural, unusual, extraordinary provision from God.
Amen.
The devil's trying to oppose America right now. He loses. Because you're going to have extraordinary things happen. And people are going to turn to God when they see the extraordinary. That's part of the great awakening. When they see the glory on you. When they see the wisdom on you. When they see the power, you lay hands on the sick and they recover. No more delays. My people shall never be disappointed nor live with delays. Talk to the Lord about that. You're not changing his mind, but you're fellowshipping with him.
Yep.
Now, Lord, you said that.
Yep.
You said that, Lord. And he goes, mm-hmm, I did. I said, he wasn't doing this, he was doing this.
Yeah.
I said that there wouldn't be delays.
Right.
You know, people say, well, you know, God always moves at 11:59. That's interesting because there's a scripture that says she shall not be moved. God will help her right early. I think that said Roxanne will not be moved. God will help Roxanne right early.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be at the last minute. And it doesn't have to be a struggle every day. And it doesn't have to be mind games every day. You live with a good God. You can have good days. I've had way more good days than bad days in my life. Way more, especially when I got into the Word of Faith. Amen. It really changed everything. Thank you, Jesus. The Apostle Paul said, none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I might finish my race with joy and the ministry I've received from the Lord Jesus. So he's talking about finishing the dream. So Joseph's brothers lived in the best in Egypt. They threw him away, and they ended up reaping a good harvest. Praise the Lord. Then Jacob died, and they thought Joseph was going to kill him when Dad got out of the way. Ooh, he going to get us. But this is what he told them. I want you to hear what he told them so you get the Joseph story right. And I'm just going to go ahead and tell you this. If you're planning on walking up to me after church and saying, now, Pastor, you might as well turn around and walk back the other way, because I'm not changing my mind about this. You can believe what you want to, but I'm telling you this. The scripture said this. Joseph, they're going to come say something to him. And he told them, don't be afraid. What you plotted for evil, God meant for good. Remember that? Now I want you to hear the Hebrew on it. The Hebrew says, what you wove for evil, God rewove for good. What you wove for evil, that's what the Hebrew says. So it's not that God let the devil line up all these horrible things for Joseph. He's the same God.
Amen.
Wow. That's so good.
He rewove it. He said, oh, you're doing that? Well, I've got him. Oh, you're going to try to do that? Well, I've got him. Oh, you're going to try. Every time Joseph is just looking to God. Oh, well, this happened to her? Well, okay, then we're going to move. Oh, so this happened to her? Well, then I'm going to move her to this. Oh, listen, God's going to get the checkmate.
Yes.
He's going to get the checkmate. God rewove it. First of all, God's not sending evil to make your dream come true. He's not going to send evil to make your dream come true. So we like ribeyes. I never leave Annie to guard the meat. You never leave the dog to guard the meat. Do you? The devil's not going to help you with your dream, church. But God will take what he does and reweave it and just really get him. And then you win. Yeah, we had something happen, something we have at home. I don't want to talk about it yet. I'm going to wait till it's done and then I'm going to give you this great testimony. But I told John, I said, John, remember what happens when these things happen. We end up better.
That's right.
We end up better. Okay. And so I'm going to tell you something great here in a few days. I just know it. I know it. I'm just laughing at the devil. So he's not going to make your dream come true. Some things may happen that you don't count on, but you keep going. God can keep on working and work right through those things. Joseph moved. The harvest moved with the dream. It was in him. And I personally do not think that all of the evil things that happened to Joseph happened so that he could get the harvest. I don't believe it needs to happen to you. But the point is this. If you've gotten off course or you've taken the long way around, you can get right back on course and use your faith and listen to the Holy Spirit and get right back on. That's the beautiful thing about God. And you're not trying to give the devil any room to make attacks. But if he did get in there, I mean, we live in a world. People make decisions. Sometimes other people's decisions affect you. It's not just you getting off course. But I promise you, God can get you right back. He has a way. Well, I don't know how we'll ever get out of this. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'll get you out of this. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So we're going to close, but I want you to remember that whatever your dream, whatever your journey, whatever it is, and you know what I'm going to say here, that this year, as you're working on that dream, you're going to receive unusual, extraordinary, supernatural provision. Now, what that means to me is it's a big push ahead. You receive it? It's a big push ahead. Now, I believe the prophet. He's got a good record. And he hears from God. Brother Savelle, Dr. Savelle. And I believe this word. And I've watched him for years. And the prophecies all came true in his life. This year, I'm following right behind him. And this is going to come true for me. So, if you don't have a dream right now, then make this your dream. Just make this your dream. Yeah, the anointing on my life is going to be unusual, supernatural, extraordinary. My household, the love in my household is going to become extraordinary, supernatural. My bank account's going to be supernatural. Just take that as your dream and then let God fill in the blanks. Let's stand up. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm believing today that you got something out of this. Your number one goal is to receive from the open hand of God unusual, extraordinary, supernatural provision. Say unusual,
unusual.
Extraordinary.
Supernatural.
Provision. Yeah, that memorized yet?
Yes.
Okay, then tell somebody that that's what you're going to get this year. Unusual, extraordinary, supernatural provision. Tell somebody. So, you know, people in their flesh go, y'all are crazy. Y'all are out of your minds. Yes, we're out of our minds. We're in Christ. We're thinking the right way. And I'm telling you, if you will do this, you're going to come in here with a testimony like no other. And as you do, you know, over just the smallest things in life that I tell you some of my testimonies, y'all's faces light up like, yeah. It's time for you to get up here and tell some.
Right.
It's time for you, for us to have a testimony time. You get up here and say, man, this happened to me this year. This changed this year. I had divine favor this year. I moved forward this year. My immune system went all the way up to 100% this year.
Amen.
We got the right people in office this year. Thought I'd throw that in there. This is your year. God loves you. We love you. Stay in victory. Bye-bye.